This is Shop Talk. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Bill Knight.
And I'm Mike Murray.
Want to talk today? We're a little bit overdue to talk about this subject, but Iowa's Governor Terry Branstad in early March signed the so-called Ag-Gag bill that's going to make it a lot more difficult to go undercover on a farm and show some evidence, perhaps, of some things that are not being done right on a farm. And actually, this sort of issue, the idea of an ag-gag bill, is nothing new. The idea that's finally passed the legislature in Iowa and been signed is new. But, Bill, you have reported on this topic for years.
Yeah, in 1995 and 96, both, I think, the Illinois General Assembly introduced similar legislation. A Geneseo Republican named Todd Sieben was behind it, and it didn't pass. But it's in Springfield, they're considering it again. It's the Animal Facility Bill, House Bill 5143. So it's one of those things that recurs occasionally, and it's interesting because most people who eat like farmers. But sometimes the farm lobby, I guess you could say, gets very defensive about coverage, particularly by people who they don't recognize as journalists, whether it's citizen journalists or really people with an agenda. Activists. So, you know, this comes back again, and so I don't think it's unusual. But you never know. This could pass sometimes, and it would have a huge chilling effect on people doing honest journalism.
Yeah, and it seems like a misdirection to point and blame these people who are perhaps presenting themselves falsely in order to get a job there and do this work and blame them when, in fact, the real issue should be the bad things that are going on these farms that are producing some of the food that potentially you and I would eat, Mike.
Right. Yeah, it's. I've always heard that you really don't want to know what goes into your hot dog, for example, you know, and I wonder how it would change people's buying habits and eating habits if they knew some of the things that do go into the products we buy. And also some of the treatment that animals occasionally endure in containment facilities, basically, such as the ones that, you know, Bill has talked about.
Oh, so the confinement
issues. Yeah, hog confinement facilities and so on. But that's the kind of information that ought to be available. So, you know, the chilling effect that the ag gag bill is going to have kind of clamps down on that, and I'm not terribly comfortable with it. So.
One of the most famous examples of this type of journalism, it's more than 100 years old now, but still well-known, required reading, I think, in many colleges, perhaps even high schools, would be The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. Mm-hmm. And others have certainly pointed out that under an ag gag bill, Upton Sinclair could have been arrested and jailed in prison for a long time for writing this sort of book. Right. And, of course, as a result of The Jungle, there were a lot of changes made in the food industry.
That's right. Of course, that was a slight novelization of what he experienced in the Chicago stockyards. Mm-hmm. So it was conveyed as fiction, but it was based on so much reality that the public didn't know about, that progressive Republicans like Teddy Roosevelt helped usher in the Food and Drug Administration's policies. But I thought you were going to mention something far more recently, the Mirage Chicago undercover operation where they operated a tavern and just kept track of all the shakedowns that they were getting from various inspectors and so on. So this is kind of, in some ways, traditional journalism. And when you think about it, this would chill the coverage of illegal activities, as well as maybe have a misleading footage or something that would have a legitimate complaint. But at a certain point, the ordinary person in the audience has to say, well, isn't libel good enough to punish people who are libeling your operation? Isn't fraud issues like the, was it ABC in the Food Lion case years ago?
Yeah.
They didn't sue them for libel, but they sued them successfully for fraud because they lied on their job applications.
Which again, is a misdirection because what they reported was accurate about what was going on with this food that was being sold and obviously eaten by people.
And if the Farm Bureau or whomever trying to get this through the legislature, whether it's Iowa or Illinois, is concerned about fabricating or misleading assertions. Well, gosh, the late Andrew Breitbart made a career of that the last few years, and where was the outcry there?
So right.
And I think there are legitimate criticisms of fabrications, of course, but this is like prior restraint.
I'm reminded by all of this that we're talking about here of the recent controversy surrounding pink slime, which I haven't really been following that very much, but it seems to pop up everywhere. I end up sneaking around on the internet and so forth. It's always in the background of everything just lately. I guess that the producers of pink slime claim that it's all beef, products at least, and I do believe it's purified with ammonia, which doesn't sound at all good.
Yum.
But once again, you wouldn't want to know what's in your hot dog. So, but I guess they have had a couple of plants that produce pink slime shut down simply because of public outcry about the. I don't really know. I guess just the depravity of the product, perhaps. It's safe. But it's just, not appetizing.
Coverage
at all.
Of food in general, whether it's irradiated food or preparation, food people just want less information to the consumer, like the whole dispute about where it originates, what the ingredients are, the labeling. Generally, it's not a family farmer, but it's agribusiness, I think, would prefer to have less information out there to the public. And the public, I think, is understandably curious about what they eat and drink.
Mm-hmm. You would hope so.
Yeah.
All right. We've run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.